The seasons of the church year really make a lot of sense. For instance, in Lent, we talk about getting ready to recognize our participation in the sacrifice and death of Jesus, our need of forgiveness, our need of grace, our need of God's love. Everything in Lent points to us and to our need for the love of God, our need for forgiveness, our need for what Jesus is going to do for us in offering himself for us, going to the cross for us, dying for us in our place. Easter is about, the resurrection of Jesus, about how his victory over death signals our victory in Jesus over sin and death in our own lives. Because Jesus was not defeated by death, but rather overcomes death through the love of God, so also we will defeat death, and we can live eternally in the love of God. We have victory over death because of Jesus' victory over death. That's the message of Easter. Pentecost is about celebrating the presence of God with us in the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't just give life to the church. It doesn't just birth the church. The Holy Spirit gives God's life-giving presence to us individually and as a body, knitting us together, making us one, making it possible for us to be the family of faith. The Jews celebrated the giving of the first fruits offerings and the giving of the Torah at Pentecost. We celebrate the first fruits of God's eternal presence with us in the power of the Holy Spirit, and we celebrate the indwelling Word of God in the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. The days after Pentecost take up a huge chunk of the church year, going from May all the way through until just a Sunday ago, a period of time in which we look at the power of the Holy Spirit in the life of the church and the coming kingdom of God of which we are already a part. The season of the Sundays after Pentecost, therefore, are typified by messages about the Holy Spirit and messages about the kingdom of God and what it means to live in the kingdom of God. Then the church year starts over with Advent. It starts anew with Advent. Today, the first Sunday of Advent, is the beginning of a new church year. And in the season of Advent and at Christmas, we all know what we celebrate, don't we? What do we celebrate this month? Christmas. What do we celebrate this month? What else? Birth of the King. What else? Santa. What else? Presents. What else? What do we celebrate in Advent? Peace? Huh? Hope?
Joy?
Love? Over here? See? Yes. Hope, joy, peace, love. The themes of Advent, which prepare us for the message of Christmas. Presents and Santa Claus and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Frosty the Snowman and pie, cake, and cookies, my favorite. And the excitement of Christmas, that's what I believed as a child. And yes, in a sense, we do celebrate the time of getting ready for Christmas. When I was a child, the days in December crawled by slowly. Because the theme of Advent, overarching all of this, hope, joy, peace, and love, overarching all of the excitement and all the preparation, the theme of Advent is waiting. Waiting. And more waiting. And as a child, waiting was not easy for me. The days in December crawled by. Now, for some reason, June, July, and August went by at warp speed as we went through the summer months, and I was off and didn't have to worry about things. It was annoying how fast the days in the summer would go until we had to get ready for kid jail again, called school. But then we get through into the fall, and when I was young, it was at Thanksgiving that all the Christmas stuff started coming out. You know, you'd have the Thanksgiving Day parade, and at the Thanksgiving Day parade's end, you have Santa Claus, and this ushers in the commercial bacchanalia called Christmas shopping and all the stuff that goes along with that. Nowadays, they start that about, oh, I don't know, back to school time, certainly by Halloween. But when I was a kid, from Thanksgiving to Christmas took forever. One day at a time, 1 hour at a time. Thinking about what we would be like, how much fun it would be, all the wonderful cookies and candy and cakes and food that I love to eat, and all the presents under the tree. And we put the Christmas tree up after Thanksgiving, the day after Thanksgiving, the tree would go up, and then on a daily and every other day basis, suddenly a present would appear. And I'd go running to it, and I'd pick it up, and I'd look at it, and oh no, it's for Chuck. I'll put it down. And then there'd be another present. And I go and I pick it up, and oh, it's for me. And then you know what you did? You looked at the shape of the box, and you shook it, and you squeezed it. And if it was squishy, it had clothes in it. Oh. And if you picked it up, and it was hard-sided, and it rattled, then it might have a toy in it, and that got you excited. Or if it was a big fat box, you know, that Dad's playing on you, and you've got inside another box that's been wrapped, and another box inside of that one that's been wrapped, and another box inside of that one that's been wrapped. And, you know, that's how Dad did things. Kind of tricking with you. And so you'd watch the presents appear. And if you were like me and my brother, we'd count. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3. Hey, Mom, there's not enough presents under there for me. And you'd wait, and you'd get anxious as you waited and waited and waited, and it never seemed to come until finally Christmas Eve is here. You're all excited. We come home from church. We're all excited. We hear Harold Taff on the television say that Santa's reindeer have been spotted by NORAD heading over and heading south, and woohoo! Finally it's here. The waiting is over. The loot is about to be unwrapped. Waiting. That's what Advent is about. Not for Christmas trees and presents and Santa. Not for Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Frosty the Snowman, and unfortunately cookies, pies, and cakes. That's not what it's about waiting about. In fact, let's not wait for the cookies and pies and cakes, okay? No, that's not what it's about. Waiting in Advent is about waiting for what? Choir? What? Huh?
New Year's.
New Year's. What? Christ. Yes, Christ. But not at first in his birth. We get this weird readings in the lectionary at the beginning of Advent. Now, the lectionary is a cycle of scripture readings that are supposed to guide clergy in their preaching throughout the church year. And if you were to preach, and there's three readings, there's the Old Testament reading, there's a New Testament reading, there's a gospel reading, there's also a psalm reading, but that cycles every single year. But it's a three-year schedule. And so if on year, the first time through, years A, B, and C, you preached on all the Old Testament passages. And the second time through, years A, B, and C, you preached on all the epistle passages. And then the third time through, years A, B, and C, you preach all the gospel passages. And if you preach another year on the Psalms, then by the time you finish that whole cycle, 10 years, guess what? You've preached 3/4 of the Bible. Wow. Now, most preachers don't do that. I've done it once. Most preachers don't do that. We like to pick and choose between the epistle lesson, the Old Testament lesson, the gospel lesson. We like to pick and choose if we're going to be lectionary preachers as to which ones we're going to preach. But it helps us to distribute our preaching over a broad range of topics. And we don't end up roosting on the same 3 or 4 topics and preach the same 3 or 4 sermons every single Sunday, every year. That gets boring, friends. It gets boring for you to hear it, and it gets boring for us to preach it. One of the difficult things about the lectionary, though, is that like today, passages are a sign that sometimes you don't want to preach on. And I was taught a long time ago that if there's a specific passage that you don't like, that you don't want to preach on it, guess what? you gotta preach on it. You might avoid it from year to year, but eventually it's gonna catch up with you. And one of those passages that preachers like me, Methodist pastors, hate preaching on is stuff to deal with the second coming of Jesus. Well, guess what? The only time in the church year that is appointed to preach on the second coming of Jesus is the first and second Sundays of Advent. Huh? This is supposed to be about Christmas. No. About the coming of Jesus, yes. About waiting for the coming of Jesus, yes. But we begin Advent not by looking back to the stable and Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus. We begin it by looking forward in time to the future, to the return of Jesus, to what's called the second coming. We talk about it in our creeds, coming in clouds of glory, or as we say in the Apostles' Creed, from thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. We talk about his return to establish the kingdom of God in its fruition. We talk about his return to gather in the saints. We talk about his return to establish in its completion, in its fruition, the reign of God here on earth, unmixed with human agenda or any of our failings. Wow. We don't do that very often. And this is the time of the year where we do it in the lectionary, where we talk about the return of Christ, where we talk about our expectation and our participation in the coming of the kingdom of God and our waiting for it, because we are waiting for it. Just as when you're waiting for a baby to be born, you know the baby's going to be born. The doctor will even tell you about when the baby's going to be born. But guess what? You don't really know when the labor goes in. You don't really know until it gets right there. And Jesus is warning, you're not going to know, so keep awake. You're not going to know when the kingdom of God is going to be brought into its fruition, so keep awake. It's so easy for the church to go to sleep, to go onto autopilot, to focus on itself, to focus on its own concerns, its own needs, its own agenda, its own desires. It's so easy to go to sleep and ignore the needs, the fears, the quandary of the world. We can focus in on ourselves and what we're doing inside these walls and ignore the needs that are out there. That's why I'm so happy the children today are learning about what it means to be in mission and in ministry to people who are disadvantaged living in a third world setting or disadvantaged living right here in our midst. The church needs to be outwardly turned, not inwardly focused. The church must be focused on establishing the kingdom of God. That's all that was Jesus' job. It's our job with Jesus to be building the kingdom of love, hope, peace, and joy right here and right now. And we're supposed to wait wakefully, attentively, and actively. In these days leading up to Christmas and our celebration of the birth of the Christ child, in these days of Advent, let us be waiting with hope, joy, peace, and love. Let us be waiting with expectation, not just for the birth of the Christ child anew in our hearts, but for the return of our Savior into our everyday living. May we be waiting, and may we be made ready for Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin, and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Let us pray. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you. Forgive all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. You may be seated. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right, good, and a joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. In the season of Advent, we, your children, praise and worship you for your great glory in forming and calling us to be witnesses in all the world. Even though we have gone astray, you have not left us without hope. You have sent us your divine revelation in your law, in your prophets, and in your holy word made flesh and dwelling among us. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe. You sent your only Son, Jesus Christ, into the darkness of our world to be our light and our salvation, the light of your love and holy presence. With humility and yet in great power, Jesus took on our flesh in the form of a child in order to live and grow as one of us. In weakness and strength, he showed forth your love and followed your call, even to death upon a cross for the sake of our sins. Then you raised him from the dead to reign with you in glory and promised his return to us in power to bring us up into your everlasting kingdom. For all this we thank you, O God. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, the Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of the faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with your Holy Spirit and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
as our Savior Christ has taught us, let us pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
In your presence, Lord, let me learn at your feet. I will taste the riches of
been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of the First United Methodist Church in Commerce, Texas, and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2017 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal, all rights reserved. For more information and for other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at First United Methodist Church, 1709 Highway 24, Commerce, Texas, 75428. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.